All right, mixing things up a little bit here. I'm coming down here. All right, if I can get all the kids, let's say through sixth grade, to come to the front. You guys can sit on the front row. If you need a parent to come with you, that's fine. But guys, come on up. Those that want, if they don't want to, they don't have to. But any kids that want to come up, come sit up here with me. And I need David Rakes to come and stand next to me. All right. You got what you're going to use? All right. All right, y'all have a seat. You guys have a good Christmas yet so far? Yes. Has everyone already opened presents or no? Raise your hand if you've already opened presents. Yes. All right, you haven't or you have?
We have.
All right, good. All right, let's see here. I got to hold it. Good. You opened all of them? Even other people's? Do. Is this on? It sounds like, I don't know which mic. No, here, I can call an audible. Hold on. It is on. Okay. All right. All right, the scripture reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. I'll hold the mic. You read, okay? Got it? All right.
Was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
This is the word of the Lord. Amen. All right, David, you can have a seat. Thank you. All right. So, if you were here last night, we talked a little bit about Mary and the role that the Holy Spirit played in her conceiving baby Jesus. You were here, that's good. Now, that's not what we're going to focus on this morning. We're not going to take questions, but you can just listen, and it's going to be a lot of fun, okay? Now, I might ask questions, and you get to answer them, but I'm not going to take questions right now. You guys might put me on the spot, okay? All right. So what we're going to look at this morning is the name Jesus. Did you notice how Jesus had two different names in there? There's the name Jesus, and there's the name Emmanuel. Well, we're going to look at the name Jesus this week, and then next week we're going to consider the name Emmanuel, okay? So, has anyone ever heard the saying, what's in a name? Who's heard that? Who's heard that question phrase, what's in a name? Does anyone know where that comes from? And what the next line is? Come on, I know somebody knows. No?
Can you say the question again, please?
What's in a name?
What's
in a name? A rose by any other name would smell as sweet. You know who said that? That was Juliet in Romeo and Juliet, written by William Shakespeare. Well, I thought you were more cultured. Okay, have a seat. It is. Now, what do you think the point of that question is? When he says, what's in a name, what do you think the point is? And they say a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. And if you called it a rock, it would still smell just as nice if it was still a rose. So he was trying to make the point that names are irrelevant, that they don't really matter. But you know what? We find out in this passage that names really can matter. In fact, have you ever noticed when you guys have read through the Bible or had it read to you how a lot of times especially in the Old Testament, they'll say somebody's name and then they'll say why they named them that or why they named the place that. So for example, Adam called his wife Eve. Why? Because she was the mother of all the living. And you know what? Eve sounds like the word for life giver. And it looks like the word for life if you read it in Hebrew. Or Abram, or Abraham, sorry. Abraham was called that because he was going to be the father of a multitude. You know what Abraham means? Father of a multitude. Or Isaac. Does anyone know what Isaac's name means? We've already been doing a lot of it this morning.
We have a Jesse tree and we just did Isaac.
What's Isaac mean? Do you know what it means? It means laughter. And you know why his name was laughter? Because when God promised Abraham and Sarai that they were going to bear a son, they both laughed. And so God said, okay, well, you're going to name your son Laughter because you're going to remember that you laughed at me when I made this promise. God has a sense of humor. Last one, Israel. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob's name was changed to Israel. James, right here, right here. Jacob's name was changed to Israel because he wrestled with God. You know what Israel means? Wrestles with or strives with God. Okay? So in the Bible, names matter. What's in a name? Well, in the Bible and in the biblical story, there's a lot in a name. It means a lot. So, it says here in Matthew that the angel came to Joseph and said that Mary was going to bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Or, James, what was it?
Joshua.
Did you know that Jesus is the same name, just in a different language, as Joshua or Yeshua? You know what that means? It means God saves. Now, who's somebody in the Old Testament that had the name Joshua? Anyone remember? No, he's not in the Old Testament. He's right there. Joshua. Who is Joshua? Yes, he led the people of Israel when they marched around Jericho. And God was not just he was finishing his deliverance of them out of the land of Egypt and bringing them to the promised land. And God was their salvation, or the Lord was their salvation, and his name was Joshua. Well, guess what? The name Jesus means the same thing. It's another form of Yeshua or Joshua, and it means God saves or the Lord saves. But does anyone remember from the reading what Jesus is going to save or who Jesus is going to save? Someone that hasn't answered yet. Who's Jesus going to save? The earth? Everyone? We just read it in the passage. It was more specific than that.
The universe?
The universe? A little bit more specific. It says here in verse 21, she will bear a son and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people. Well, who are Jesus' people?
Us.
Why can we say we are Jesus' people? Why?
Because
we believe in him?
Because
we love Jesus?
Because
he made us, yeah? Jocelyn?
Because
that's right. So we look at everything that he's done from creation to incarnation when he became flesh and all the ways in which he has saved us from our sins, especially in his death on the cross. Right? And you guys believe that? And if you believe that, not perfectly, but if you believe that just with a little bit of faith, guess what? You are saved. You're Jesus' people. Isn't that good news? And you know what? The Bible tells us that we should all have faith like a child. So y'all have a little bit of an advantage on us right now because you're children. And sometimes we grown-ups forget what it's like to have childlike faith. But it's exciting to trust in Jesus and to believe that he saves us from our sin. And in that, he's also saving the entire world, and he's going to make all things new. There are going to be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain. That's good news, right? All right, James, sit still. Got it? I can see. I've got a microphone, and I've got eyes over here. Okay, So he's going to save us from our sins. Let's think about this. What does it mean for Jesus to save us from our sins? Who here sins? Raise your hand. Yeah, that's what I thought. All right. Okay. Some of you need to have coffee with me next week. Just kidding. Okay, he's going to save us from our sins. Now, I was going to tell a really funny story here, and I forgot. But we don't all take sin, you know, not everybody that we're friends with takes sin seriously or even thinks it's a real thing. So it's important to recognize that Jesus doesn't just save us, but he saves us from something particular. There's an older pastor and theologian who's actually since died and gone to be with Jesus. But there's a really funny story about him. His name was R.C. Sproul. Has anyone ever heard of R.C. Sproul? He was a really funny guy, and I can tell you some really good stories about him. But this is a story that's always stuck with me. He was walking on the street in Pittsburgh, and somebody walked up to him and said, "Are you saved?" And this kind of grumpy, older but dry-humored man just looked at the person and said, "Saved from what?" And the person was a little bit taken aback and didn't know really how to answer the question. It's important to recognize that Jesus doesn't just save us generally, but he saves us from all of the bad things we do, all of the bad things we say, and the bad that's in our hearts. You know that sin is something that's very specific to who we are in Adam? Those who are born in a broken and a fallen world. Guys, we're almost done, so look at me and listen, okay? David, hands in your lap, okay? Listen up. All right, so consider this. Jesus, throughout his life, was known as a friend of sinners. And he said some really tough things about sin. But this is one thing he said. This is in Matthew chapter 9. Jesus passed from where he was, and he called Matthew, sitting at a tax booth. Matthew's the one that wrote the Gospel of Matthew. Okay, he was a tax collector, which means he was an Israelite who helped the Romans take money and sometimes extra money from his own people. So tax collectors were not liked people, okay? Not like tax collectors. Well, we don't really like tax collectors anymore still, but they're not quite as bad today as they were back then. So he calls Matthew and he says, "Follow me." Matthew arose and followed him. And Jesus was reclining at table in the house. It means he was sitting at the table, probably lying down, enjoying a good meal. And behold, many tax collectors, all these people that nobody liked, and all these sinners, lots of sinners, okay? Remember, everybody raised their hand, or should have. A lot of them were hanging out with Jesus, and they were reclining at the table with Jesus and his followers. And when the Pharisees saw this, these are the religious elites. These are like the pastors back then, okay? They saw it. They saw that his disciples were with them, and they said, they came to Jesus' disciples, and they said, "Why is your master Jesus sitting and eating with tax collectors and sinners? Why is he hanging out with these people?" But when he heard it, Jesus said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came to call the righteous, not the righteous, but sinners." What does Jesus say there? Is a sinner. What's it like to be a sinner? Someone who's what? Bad, okay. Sick. Yeah, somebody who's sick. What does that mean? How could we understand sin? It's what?
When you make bad choices.
When you make bad choices, or?
It's the bad news that people put into it from their heart.
Oh, wow. Okay. We're going to get there in just a second, so hold that thought. Jesus is saying here that it's like being a sinner is like being sick. It's like having a virus or a disease. Okay? It's actually messed up who you are. It's made you sick. And Jesus is saying those who are sick need a doctor to come and give them the medicine that they need. Now, you know, we all have moms and dads who help us with that when we're sick, or we go to the doctor and we get medicine. But this is a kind of sickness that only the creator of the universe, only the one who made us, could actually come and take care of it. And that's what we're celebrating on Christmas, is that God came to us in the flesh to be that masterful physician who would heal us from our sin. That's right. So listen to this. But here it is. It's not just when you're sick, if you have a cold, you've got that virus in you, you do what? What do you often do? You sniffle and you cough. All of those are outward expressions of the sickness inside of you, right? Well, listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 15. The Pharisees and the scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break all the traditions of the elders? For they don't wash their hands when they eat." He answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die.' But you say, 'If anyone tells his father or his mother, what you have would have gained has been given to God, he need not honor his father and mother.' So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They say all the right things, but their hearts don't love me. In vain do they worship me.'" They're just pretending to worship me, he says. "Teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And when he called the people to him and said to them, 'Hear and understand, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person. It's not what you eat. It's not having dirty hands. It's not that kind of stuff that defiles you. But what comes out of his mouth, that defiles a person.' Then the disciples came to him and said, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?' And he answered, 'Every plant that is that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They're blind guides. They don't understand. They don't understand the gospel.' And he said, 'And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit.'" But Peter and the other disciples were a little bit confused. So Peter says, "Explain this parable to us, Jesus." Jesus said to them, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes through the stomach and is expelled?" Gross. "But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles or makes a person unclean or unholy or sinful. For out of the heart, out of the inside of who we are, out of our heart, that's where, from that diseased core, comes evil thoughts." Anyone ever thought something evil? Murder. Has anyone committed? Don't tell me. Adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. What's Jesus saying? What's Jesus telling us? Don't kill, yeah. He's saying that in our hearts is poison or a virus or a disease. And when we start thinking evil thoughts, when we maybe want to murder someone in our hearts, when we, grown-ups, when we're looking at other people that aren't our spouse, or we're longing for a relationship that isn't ours, or we're acting on that, when we're taking things that don't belong to us, okay, when we're lying, when we're tearing others down. You know, here's the interesting thing. A lot of us, and grown-ups, you can listen to this too. The way Jesus puts this list together, it's like he's speaking to the religious elites. He's speaking to the pastors and the people that really think they've got it together. And as the list is going by, a lot of them are probably thinking, "Ah, I've never done that, I've never done that, I've never done that." And then he starts to get into sanctified meddling, and he starts to talk about lying and slandering. And in Mark's gospel, he starts talking about pride and arrogance. And oh, by the way, if you're sitting there listening to that list and thinking, "Well, I've never done those things," guess what? Pride and arrogance and slander and all that kind of stuff, deceit, start to get you. Jesus' point is all of us have this sickness inside of us. All of us need the physician who comes to bring healing and to bring salvation. And what does Jesus mean? Who remembers what the name Jesus means? Yeshua, Savior, God, or the Lord saves. Here's the good news of Christmas and the good news all the time. God in love sent his son to save us from our sin. Not just the bad things we do and say, but the sin that is inside of us. Isn't that good news? And how do we know that we're Jesus' people? When we trust in Him and trust that in Him God has done for us what we could never do for ourselves. Amen? Amen. Let me pray. Dear God, we thank You for this good news. It's simple, and yet it's so profound. God, we can understand it at a surface level, and we can experience the blessings, and yet there's so much depth that we can continue to dive into and try to understand. So help us to do that as we grow. Whatever age we are, may we always have the faith of a child. But may we, like Jesus, seek to grow in wisdom and stature and in understanding. And God, would You grant that we would also grow in favor with those around us, that we might make this good news known to our brothers and our sisters, our friends and our family, our neighbors, everyone that You put in our path. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys can go back to your seats. And let me just check our altered order of service really fast and see what's next. I think I know what it is. Mark, I think it's communion. So Mark's going to do communion for us this morning.